Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Power to Be You listeners and Rise to Win for our youth. I am Sandra Bueno, and I am coming to you live from West Palm Beach, Florida. Today's half an hour show will be featuring one of our community leaders and organizations that is working directly hands-on with our community, and there is nothing, I believe, more powerful and riveting than the topic and the actual insight that today's guest will be sharing with us. Our today's guest, her name is Olga, and Olga is the founder of Art and Compassion. Art and Compassion is an organization that works here in West Palm Beach, Florida, serving the homeless and the there's an actual term that Olga has brought about with the working poor. And that truly right now is something that we can all focus on and really take to heart, because this is a reality and this is what is taking place, not just in West Palm Beach, but all around our country and all around the world. So at this time, I'd like to welcome Olga on Power to Be You and Rise to Win. Hello, Olga.
Hi, Sandra. How are you? Thank you for having me.
No, I'm very grateful. Thank you, because I know we've just met. We were just connected yesterday, and it is just a something magical that you're actually able to be on this call right now, as I had another guest scheduled. But it's just really, you know, I mean, it's a work of God, because you have an event right now that you are wanting to create an awareness towards, and I would love to start with that. So right off, you can just share with us what it is that your pressing need, what are you doing right now, and how can our listeners get engaged and get involved to help you and support what you are doing?
Sandra, the pressing need that we have right now is the Christmas special for this Sunday. We meet every Sunday morning at Curry Park. That's here on 23rd and Flagler in West Palm Beach. And we have homeless men and women. We have children of the homeless men and women, and also many families that are poor from the area that come to our church service. We have breakfast for them every Sunday. We use the art to share the compassion of Christ. And, of course, this Sunday we're having a Christmas special, which we like to give gifts not just to the children but also the men and the women. So we have a need for personal hygiene items, blankets, socks, things like that, just to give to someone and say, you know, this came from Jesus. He loves you. And we just want to be a blessing to the families, to the men, to the women, and the children.
And the address where you'll be meeting again is at?
It's Curry Park. It's 23rd and Flagler in West Palm Beach, Sunday morning at 10:30.
And how long will you be there for?
Well, we have our breakfast and we have our service. We serve a lunch for them, and then after the hot lunch is served, we go into the gift distribution. So for Thanksgiving, we were there longer than we expected, and this Sunday I'm thinking we'll be there maybe till 1 o'clock, 1:30, depending on how many people come out. We served 600 plates for Thanksgiving, gave out 207 turkeys with the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we just had a slight interruption, and I'll ask you to just stay tuned, because we should be coming back on the air. What I'll like to share with you is the website, which is Art and Compassion. I'm sorry, artandcompassion@aol.com is actually the email where you can reach Olga Smith, and the website is hopeandpromise.org. You can look at that and see what this organization is about, and also get involved. Read on what it is that they are doing, that Olga and her husband, who are ministers, are undertaking in this community. When you go into that website, you're also able to look at the book that has been created, and the title, Underbelly, The Palm Beach No One Talks About. And this deals directly with taking a look at homelessness, an addiction in the land of wealth and privilege. And when you look and when you hear what is there, you really it really stirs you, because this is the hardcore truth of where a lot of our humanity has gone. And before we can move forward, we need to be aware of where we stand. And we need to raise awareness, and in a sense that we don't look at the issues, but we look at solutions. And we start going back again to the grassroots and say, okay, how can we stop this? We might not, we are able to do something to those who are involved in that scenario, but how can we stop this so that the children and the offspring do not have to continue with that same identity and do not have to continue repeating and taking the same steps that the parents were taking. So that's why, for me, it is so important to bring about these organizations who have a heart in the matter and who are making and taking steps, who are doing, and their heart is there, because without the heart, people cannot go in and do this type of work. And this really comes from God being able to put this in your heart where you go to where the need is. And the people that I have had on Rise to Win for Our Youth are such people, people that want to make a difference, people who are not afraid to step in, people who really look and bring compassion, bring love, bring the spirit of God and purpose, bring growth, bring solutions. And that's truly what Art and Compassion is exactly about. Olga, are you on the line?
Yes, I
see you on the line. Okay, excellent. It was, you just got cut off and I couldn't hear you. So please continue regarding the Sunday's event. You were saying for Thanksgiving you served 600 plates. And how many people are you looking to serve on Sunday?
We're expecting about the same crowd. And this Sunday, not only are we giving gifts to the community, but also groceries. This is a disenfranchised community, and we see that the need is greater and greater. People are coming from Boynton Beach, from Lake Worth, from Jupiter. People are coming from all over. People need hope. People need a hand up. And we get a lot of people with addictions, people with HIV/AIDS. It's not just homeless people, you know, recovering addicts. Pregnant teens, young mothers, elderly, people that are physically impaired do make it out in the wheelchairs out to the park to have church with us on Sunday. So we're excited to be able to do this unto the Lord. We're excited. We're very blessed to be able to do this for the community.
How many, I mean, this is just so much, because when you say that list, it's almost like, you know, come one, come all, and you're really looking at the whole spectrum, you know, of the needs that are there. Now, what about youth? What type of children, how many children do you feel that usually come? Is there a median of that?
Sandra, we have 847 children that their parents have signed them up for toys. We're looking at children of moms that are in prison or dads that are in prison, a lot of grandmothers that are raising their grandchildren, a lot of single moms, migrant people that are here. It's all types of people, all types of needs, all types of races, all types of economic backgrounds.
So you're looking at close to 900 youth who are going to be there, in what age range?
We started, actually, it's not just youth. These are between the ages of for toys, we sign them up between the ages of 0, of course, babies, and 16 years old. And we have a lot of youth that come out from the area. The youth, we want to reach the youth because they're born here in this area. They die here in this area. We want this youth to be encouraged, and that's what we use the arts as a means of bringing the races together, the classes of people together, and being able to deposit in them so they can come out of these neighborhoods without dying out here, because you see it all the time. They're born here, they're raised here, and they die here. They don't make it out of this county. So we're trying to change that. We're trying to make a difference.
So people who are listening to us right now and they say, okay, I want to help, what can you suggest?
I encourage you to look at our website, hopeandpromise.org, and I encourage you to call our office. Our number is area code 561-683-0707. We not only need gifts for the youth and for the children, for the men and the women, but we also need hands. We need volunteers. We need people to put, you know, meals together for Sunday, to pack their goodie bags. We need help. We need volunteers. We need soldiers in the army of the Lord. Amen?
Amen. That's actually, yeah, that's big. It's amazing because, you know, we're right now on Thursday, so to have this turnout on Sunday really is going to take that work of people right now, just like you and I met yesterday, and I was able to get you on the show today, and I'm looking to making this accessible, this audio accessible to a wide community to include some of the media. Have you been able to speak with any of the media?
Not as of yet. We've been interviewed by the Palm Beach Post because there's something going on with Art and Compassion. There was an ordinance that was passed last year preventing us from feeding on our Wednesday night service. On Wednesday night, we have church at Centennial Square, which is right directly in front of the West Palm Beach Library. And an ordinance was passed last year preventing us from doing that. But, of course, we continued our regular church schedule service every Wednesday night in our feedings, and the ordinance was just overturned. So it wasn't the media about the ordinance being overturned, and now it is legal for us to continue doing what we're doing, but they have not mentioned the need, and I have mentioned to the media, my need right now is to be able to bless the community, make this a memorable holiday season for them.
Yeah, because it's and I understand what you say with hope. I will tell you, I have a personal experience in a few months ago when I went to Places of Hope. It wasn't Places of Hope. It was Convoy of Hope, where out in 45th Street, they gave out backpacks to youth. And this was done with an amalgamation of about, I think, you know, maybe 10 to 15 churches coming together, and they created this one big day event for the youth. They had immunizations, haircuts, they got all these things, and at the end, they were able to connect with the ministers. And they were able to, you know, but prior to that, they were also given, or on their way out, they were given bags of groceries. And I will tell you that where I was in my life, I actually went there not only as, you know, as a spectator, also to take a look at what was going on within the community and to just really observe from the standpoint of wanting to help, but in my own life, I also went there knowing that there was a need, and as a single parent, you know, based on where I am financially, and I went through the line. I went through the line with my son. And every time that we went through and that we got help, it was amazing because it was encouraging, it was loving, it was, you know, this feeling that you get inside of being able to say, somebody cares and somebody's helping me out. And when I'm telling you, when they said, do you want groceries, outside of me, I was embarrassed. And I said, you know, I wanted to say no, but in my heart, you know, I said, why am I going to turn this away when I know that I actually am in need right now? And this is something that somebody is offering me, and it comes through the Lord. And I took it, and I will tell you that I used everything that was there. I was so grateful. And it was that humbling experience to know that we can all go through it, you know, and in one way or the other, all of us will have to face a challenge in our lives where we recognize the hand of somebody who's there to help you. And at that moment, you're just so grateful and thankful. And it does bring hope because it, you know, and I can tell you, it's to do what you're doing and to be able to give to people who have nothing else and find themselves in a place where they're given, you know, I think that just leaves you speechless. So I commend you for the work that you do. And I just look forward to being able to, you know, to help you with this endeavor for Sunday.
Thank you, Sandra. And, you know, I probably met you at that Convoy of Hope. with Urban Youth Impact.
Yes.
And we were there. Art and Compassion was there. We were.
Wow.
My daughter was doing face painting in the children's tent, and my husband and I were security there. So we were involved with that also.
Isn't
and it was
funny?
Awesome. It was awesome to see the community coming together, you know, for this event. And like you said, you were a single mom needing groceries, and you were there with many people that needed groceries, and no one was there to judge anyone. We were there to love people, share the love of Christ, and be a blessing unto others. And that's what we're hoping to continue doing, not just now over the holiday season, but every Sunday, be that light, you know, shining here in a park in West Palm Beach.
Wow. Well, I'm actually talking right now to various people, and you know, we'll see who the, you know, where all of these, the heroes and the people who want to step out and the people who want to give and who want to be a part of transformation and just of gifting, you know, where they are and where they're going to come. So I really, you know, look forward to seeing the magic take place from here to Sunday, which is, after all, the whole purpose of celebrating Christmas and of celebrating this special, you know, this special event. So great. And let's see now, as far as I'd like to just bring about what Art and Compassion is, what you have, you know, why did you begin it, or how did you get started with it?
Well, Sandra, it's something that I grew up watching my parents do, you know, just helping people in general. Our house was the beacon of light in the community. If someone needed a plate of food or a, you know, a place to spend the night, someone was in need, they would reach out to my parents. So that's just a way of life for us. It's a family ministry. When my husband and I were married, over 27 years ago, the first people that we took in our home was a single mom with a child and her mom from another country. And this is just something that has evolved throughout the years. In 1996, we began feeding the homeless here in West Palm Beach. We did that for 3 years at Curry Park. And 5 years ago, we became incorporated. And we've been doing it at the same location ever since, Curry Park on Sundays and Wednesday night at Centennial Square. And we use the arts such as dance, music, drama, poetry to share the compassion of Christ, to make things memorable. You know, you've heard the same sermon over and over again ever since you were a child. But when you see it being performed in front of you, it's something that stays with you. And it does bring a change in people's lives. And our main purpose of coming out there, you know, we use food. People hear about us. Oh, they're feeding, you know, here at the park on Sunday. So people hear about Art and Compassion's feeding. Once they come out, they're presented with hope, with the gospel, with someone that's willing to befriend them, to build a relationship with them, not to judge them, to love them. And then we take the opportunity to help them once they cry out for help. That's what we do. This year, 2008, we've sent over 100 individuals with addictions into faith-based programs, Christian programs, out of the state of Florida for at least a year commitment. And these are people that have life-controlling issues with either pornography, addiction of alcohol, drugs, things like that, homelessness. We get them assessed. We connect with different programs throughout the state of Florida, or mostly outside of the state, throughout the United States, and then we help them with the transition into the program. We fix a bag for them, putting on a Greyhound bus or on an airplane with a new suitcase, a new scarf around their neck, and just send them on to be restored back to the Lord and back to their family once they're healed. You know, they're able to come back into their family and make a change in the community. We have many individuals that have left the streets of Florida, have gone through the programs, and now they work with the programs. So now when we have a newcomer off the street and we send them into the program, they have a face there, someone that's going to disciple them. They used to be out here in the streets with them before.
And that's very strong, because you're looking at someone who, again, has that hands-on experience and the empathy, you know, to be able to say, I've been there, I've done that, and this is where my life now is.
Exactly. There's a gentleman in the book, Underbelly. His name is Jerome Russell. Jerome Russell had been in prison many times. He was an addict. He was a drug dealer. He had been shot in peril. Close to 2 years ago, went to Teen Challenge in Portland, Oregon. And Jerome Russell, for the first time in his life, has been drug-free for 2 years, and now he's working for Teen Challenge in Portland, Oregon.
Wow. And how old is he?
Jerome is in his 50s.
Wow. And he's doing with Teen Challenge, so he's working with younger people.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Now, Teen Challenge is not just for teenagers. Teen Challenge was founded about 40-some years ago by David Wilkinson, and it was for youth. But now, because of the epidemic of drugs and alcohol, it's not just for youth anymore. It's for anyone that wants to turn their lives around. And we know that it takes God in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that you know, deliverance, being set free from those life-controlling issues, you know, from the alcohol and the drugs. So we see a lot of young people out here, Sandra. My husband and I, we were therapeutic foster parents, and I see a lot of throwaway kids in the street. Once they age out at 18, they're living on rooftops. They're living behind bushes. They're living in abandoned buildings. And then they start using drugs. You know, they're full of despair. They're hopeless. And we come to the park and we love them on them. We become their parents. And then we talk to them about going into programs. So we have many young people that we've sent to Teen Challenge programs. And we have many success stories of young people that went to Teen Challenge or various faith-based programs and are now working with the other youth that we sent into the program.
And now all of this costs money. How do you get the money to be able to support the youth and the men and the women going through these programs?
Well, God has been so faithful to us, and He has given us favor. Whenever I call a program, there's an application fee, there's an induction fee, and they waive all those fees for Art and Compassion because they know that the people that we work with, our friends, our family out here in the streets, they're homeless or they're working poor, so they cannot afford $70 for an application or $200 for an induction fee. So they waive all the fees for Art and Compassion, and then we send out emails letting people know that we have a need for someone to get a bus ticket or a plane ticket. And every month, you know, we send out emails. We have, right now as I'm speaking to you, Sandra, I have a list of 30 individuals from right here in West Palm Beach, and the only thing that's preventing them from going onto the road to recovery, it's a plane ticket or a bus ticket. And this is how we support what we do. It's family supported and friends and people that respond to the emails that say, yes, I want to sponsor that young man. Yes, I want to sponsor that young lady to go into the program.
Well, there's so much, you know what, there's so much, and I know I've always said it's not about resources, it's about resourcefulness, because there are those who have and who have no idea of how they can best serve or where they can apply themselves, and they tend to, you know, give to the wide organizations where the money, you know, is sent down, you know, down the system. But where you are at is, you know, really working grassroots, really working right there where the pain is. And, you know, and I really feel that by being able to pinpoint these organizations in our community, we will be able to, you know, not only from the business standpoint be able to recognize each other, but the community can now look and say, you know what, this is an area where I'd like to help. This is an area where I'd like to serve. This is an area where I know that I can make a difference because, you know, I can sponsor one person on the road to recovery. I mean, that's a tremendous gift for any other human being to be able to take with them to know that they have made a difference in saving somebody else's life.
Exactly, because not everybody can afford, you know, a plane ticket for $200. Not everybody can afford a suitcase, but someone may be able to afford a warm pair of socks or, you know, help put together a goodie bag for their road, you know, trip, toothbrush, toothpaste, things like that. So this is something that, you know, everyone can come together as a village, you know, to help a young man, a young woman, or even a man, and you know, or a woman in their 30s or 40s or even 50s.
Now help us to understand something. How does, and we have about 6 minutes left on the show, but you know, I read part of the underbelly at the beginning what it talks about, and I'd like to, you know, share a little bit of this with the audience. It says, Underbelly takes us on a journey into a nightmarish, almost nihilistic world where drugs, sex, violence, mental illness, and poverty reigns over the land. When I read that actual introduction of, you know, individual cases and all of the different people who are telling their own stories from their own voices, you know, it is exactly what it says. They are explosively raw, powerfully gripping. They gnaw at your conscience. They force us to question how, in a land of such wealth and privilege, this human condition can still exist. How, in your experience, from your experience, you know, I feel that if you're not familiar with the homeless situation, you tend to be afraid, or you tend to, you know, because it takes you into such a world of despair and such a world of agony and so much violence in there. What can you help us understand so that people can say, you know what, you know, I can go there. You know, even if I'm afraid, I can step in and give a helping hand. Do you find that that's a situation?
Yes, Sandra, thank you for bringing that up. People are afraid of the homeless because they hear so many things. Homeless people are targets of, you know, violence, of violent crimes. And I thank God for David Gilipter. He is a gentleman that came to Art and Compassion because his son was struggling with an addiction to Xanax. And he started coming to serve at Art and Compassion, and he saw the frustration that I had with the homeless being faceless people, invisible people, that people, they, because of fear or lack of knowledge, they don't know how to approach a homeless person. They don't know what to do, so the best thing is just to look the other way, continue walking and not see what their needs are. But these homeless men and women and young people that are out here, they're someone's son, someone's daughter, someone's mother, someone's father. These people, when you get to know them, have had lives, you know, that some of them were rich people. There's one in the book from Johnson, from the Johnson & Johnson inheritance. He's in the book. And these are people that are teachers, that have been sports figures, all types of people. Homelessness can touch anyone, any background. The mental illness that we see out here, the addiction, it's just something that, I believe, Sandra, that it's in every one of our families.
Yeah.
It's just hard to grasp it, but it touches all of our lives. And there's nothing to be afraid of. Just come, serve, love, don't judge. Just wrap your arms around them, serve them, get to know them, love them with the love of Christ. And one thing that I pray for constantly is for the Lord to help me to see them through eyes of grace, because that's how He sees me. Through eyes of grace. And when I see someone beaten, smelly, hopeless, and I pray, Father God, help me to see them through eyes of grace, I see what God is showing me when that person is set free, when that person is loved on, when that person is helped, how they come around, how they can smile again, how they can be back, you know, part of their family and the community. So these are human beings, individuals that have dreams and hopes.
You know, that's, it makes you think, because we've all been there. I mean, I remember a situation when I was at a church in New York City at St. John the Divine, a gigantic cathedral, and I remember right at the moment when it was time to give the peace, and I extended my hand to the person in front of me, and the person turned around, and they were homeless. And immediately, you know, that ego base, that thing that we wear on the outside, that mask that we hide behind, you know, it immediately crept up, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is a homeless person. You're going to touch their hand. You're in church. And right away, the heart jumped up, and it said, you know what? You know, this is another person. This is another human being. This is another spirit. And the purpose for why you are here is to connect with that spirit and to love another person. And I was able to do that, and I was grateful, because my heart, you know, took over that ego that kept on coming up. But when you are, you know, you mentioned it, when you are in front of a person and you don't know, it's in the absence of knowing, in the absence of having resources and options, that you don't know how to react. So by being, I think being present to what you are doing, it's an opportunity for people to engage and to allow their hearts to open to new possibilities of who they can be to help people go forward. So
amen.
I thank you. I thank
amen.
You, because really this is, you know, I think that this is something great, and I look forward to being able to just support you and support you going forward, because this obviously, like you said, more and more, you know, a few years back they had a fact that Americans were two paychecks away from being homeless.
Yeah.
You know? And you got to take that. I know that when I got pregnant and I was a single mother, the only thing that supported me in my transition was the fact that I had a family who was there to support me and help me. Had it not been for them, you know, I would have. There's only so long that you can go from a friend's house to a friend's house. You end up having to go to social services. And this is why, you know, here in your book, it talks about a woman, a mother, who is a mother of four, sleeping in a crammed into a room of 15 by 30 feet with 25 other people. You know, if nobody's there to support her or help her with her youth, her four children are being brought up looking at all that with that same, you know, with that same pain.
Yes.
So
yes.
I just, you know, this is big. So, well, as far as your book, they can also get it through your website. Give us your website again one more time.
hopeandpromise.org. You spell it all out, hopeandpromise.org. And there's a link there to the Underbelly book.
And the money goes directly to your organization?
Yes, it does.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, Olga, it has been a pleasure, and I look forward to being able to support you, to being there on Sunday, and to seeing what that's going to make and what's going to create through us.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you to you. Thank you, God, for connecting us, and thank you to the listeners.
Excellent. Well, this is Sandra Bueno with Power to Be You and Rise to Win, and we will come back again tomorrow with another community organization or a leader who's making a difference. And once again, this is about all of us coming together, making a difference for God, for youth, for people, and for our world. This is Sandra Bueno, signing out.